God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our Advent preparation as we are preparing ourselves to celebrate the Feast of the Nativity, that special time in which the Church celebrates God taking on flesh and blood, being born in a stable in Bethlehem for our salvation. During this Advent theme, however, we are picking up our texts from Isaiah, as Isaiah gives us many comforting words about who this baby will be and what he will do. That also applies for us here and now as our Savior again comes to us, and he comes to us again in his second Advent and the last day. But we begin tonight from Isaiah chapter 9. With the title of the message sort of setting the stage here, Might Makes Right. It seems that throughout world history, we see the idea that surfaces called might makes right. This says that those with a military might seem to be the ones that are, quote, right. That is, they are the ones that can conquer other countries and impose their will upon others. And it seems like the victor always is the one who writes history, so to speak. Well, this is not necessarily fair. It does happen. It happens because of our sinful nature. It happens because of the power of greed. It happens because that nature within us likes to control, especially other people. The darkness of our own wills, because of our broken, fallen nature, is filled with people who superimpose their own will upon others. And not just in military campaigns, but also personally, one-on-one, in relationships. And it almost seems like the closer those relationships are, the more we can hurt the other person with that. In either case, it is basically wrong. I'd be lying to you if I said I've never superimposed my will upon anyone. It's part of our human nature. It is who we are. I don't think I can ever say I've never controlled anyone. I try not to abuse my office, my position of leadership within the church. But we do not have to go too far before we do find abuse, whether it's by your current pastor or previous pastor or other leaders within the church universal. Our sinful nature is strong, and we believe that might does kind of make right. Because of this, abuse in the church does take place. And we have to come before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, fess up our sins, and seek his forgiveness. But this isn't something the church usually likes to talk about. We don't necessarily like to talk about others being controlling, whether it be within the church or even outside the church. Even there in the time of World War II with Adolf Hitler, you had some Lutheran pastors who were sitting there going, yeah, we're not too sure we like what's going on, but should we say something? Should we not? At what point do you sit there and say to a government, you have gone too far with your police actions, with your conflicts? When does it cease being a, quote, just war? So needless to say, the church doesn't like language like this and shies away from such military warlike language. We remember Jesus' words, love your enemies, instead of hurt them. But in today's world, our sinful nature would rather say, hurt them before they hurt you. Tonight's text actually has a little bit of this struggle embedded in it. Because within most translations, they have a hard time picking up one of the nuances of a Hebrew word. A Hebrew word that's actually used in reference toward God. Tonight's text actually disguises such language because it's in reference to God. The word is very innocently pointed as mighty in reference to God. And very often our minds would start going back to the creation. God is almighty. He created the heavens and the earth. And we don't have a problem with that. We like to know that God is in control. Amen. But the actual Hebrew word really means in reference toward men of valor. Fighting men. Men who are heroes. Men of conquest. Now, we're not talking about the angels doing the fighting. That would be Lord of the hosts, Lord of the armies. No, we're talking about this is the man who is doing the fighting, doing the conquering hero. Maybe in today's secular world, maybe we should describe this and translate instead of mighty God, how about the Rambo God? You know, the big broad shoulders, the weapons of mass destruction, sort of like? Well, I'm not willing to change my word of God yet. But the Rambo God just doesn't sound like something you'd want to hear in church. Describe especially a little baby born in Bethlehem. That cute, adorable little baby. Is that Rambo God? I can see why most translators like to use the word mighty or almighty. But should we be afraid of such military or controlling language? Well, I will admit, today's society, we should probably be a little cautious, but realizing that controlling others is not God's in God's vocabulary. But why should we be a little cautious? Because people have been hurt and abused by controlling people. People who have controlled them, whether they be loved ones, or leaders in the community, or even, unfortunately, even leaders in the church. And so we have a new generation of people claiming to be Christians, but yet saying, I don't know about that, quote, institutional church. There seems to be too many things wrong with it, because its leaders sometimes abuse their positions for self-serving purposes. My quick answer to that is, what would you expect from a bunch of sinners? Remember, we're still this side of heaven. We have to struggle with our sinful nature, and it is a struggle. So during our Advent preparations, we need to take a look at a God who is the Rambo God, who is the mighty man of valor, but who is not controlling nor manipulating, but one who delivers and saves. Is this possible? Well, if we were talking about an ordinary human being, the answer is no. But we're talking about the mighty God. Going back to when this conflict really began, you have to go back to Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created to live forever. Death was never to touch them. Death wasn't even in the vocabulary, except as a result of sin. However, after they sinned, after they fell into sin, death now became a reality, and in today's world, a given truth for all humanity. So Advent, meaning coming, particularly the coming of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, can be addressed past, present, and future. In Advent past, we needed a Savior. A Savior who was going to do what? And listen to the vocabulary, conquer death. Well, conquer is warlike language, is it not? And the answer is yes. He is able to conquer death, able to restore humanity back to live with God forever. And this cute little baby boy born in Bethlehem is that mighty warrior. However, the battle does not take place with military might. The battle really takes place upon the cross. So when we see a manger scene being set up during this Advent time, this Advent season, and if in that manger scene they have sort of a creche with the Christ child in it, we need to look past that Christ child that cute, adorable child and look to the cross. Superimpose the darkness of the cross, its pain, its blood, its struggle upon that cute little baby born in Bethlehem. For this is the reason why God takes on flesh and blood, why he was born in Bethlehem, why he even came to this earth. St. Paul notes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy, again warlike language, to be destroyed, another warlike language, is death. So very clearly we set the scene. This little baby needs to be a warrior. In Advent present, however, do we still need that baby to be a warrior? Do you need a God who is that hero, that superhero, that ultimate superhero, the God, the Rambo God, in your life today? And the answer is yes, because there is an Advent reason for the present. Even though people still die, we have a Savior who has conquered death for us here and now. Isaiah notes this in the past, but he also applies this for the people today. It's not just death. Our Savior does a little bit more. The opening words of our text, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Now it's very interesting in this passage here. It talks about people walked in darkness, and now who live, who dwell in a land of deep darkness. So, do you consider your life right now being that much of a terrible life? Very often, if you ask most of us, we might say, life is pretty good, kind of average. Economy's a little bit on the downside, but beyond that, it's not too bad. However, if we really dig deep down inside, do we not realize that within us there is a lot of turmoil, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of darkness that we don't want to bring out to the light because we'd be ashamed of it? We have to realize, yes, we are that people. Not only do we live in the land of darkness, and we can quickly point the finger to the sin residing in our world around us, but that darkness is actually within us. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ is that light, and is lighting our way here and now. While we still struggle with the darkness of sin in our lives, he provides the answer. We see around us the many abuses of government and other people abusing their power, forcing their will upon others. And maybe we might even catch ourselves in that role from time to time, and it causes us to shudder. Is there hope, even for us? The answer is yes. In Christ Jesus. He is the light that shines into the deep darkness of this sin-filled world. And it doesn't have to be just the world around us. It is also the world within us. Even in our own minds, sin may be a shadow in our lives through depression, negativity, sickness, and addictions, plus many more. However, Christ and his warm, loving light illumines the cold darkness of sin within and outside our lives. You see, he comes to us through his word. Yes, he is the conquering hero, but he comes not to enslave us, not to entrap us, not to manipulate us, nor to control us, but just the opposite. He comes to free us. We have a caring Christ who comes to free and release us and bring us to the love. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That doesn't sound like a words of an oppressor, but of a redeemer. That little baby born in Bethlehem now frees us from the darkness of sin in our lives. He frees us from anger, hatred, violence. St. Paul notes this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." How is this possible? Since it's part of our nature, it's part of who we are. The answer is, it's not possible with us alone. We can't put it away from us unless that Christ child is there for us. Getting back to our text notes, "You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest." Notice that word joy an awful lot. Well, if you've been released from darkness and from death, I hope and pray you have joy. What else is holding us back? Even in the midst of the darkness of our lives, from within and from without, there is joy. Because we have hope in that Christ child. Hope through His deliverance of His victory over sin, death, and the devil. And it brings us and increases this joy within our lives. Now, we may not have complete joy because we still are sinful and we live in this world of sin. Now, moving to Advent of the future, the second Advent, so to speak, where His light now leads to eternal life, where finally death and darkness will be completely undone and Satan defeated. Here we see the God of valor, a God who is the true superhero. Even though one of my favorite characters in Star Wars, Yoda, says, "War does not make one great," Christ Jesus is great for His defeat of the devil. Please note the real big exception here that we have to come to grasp with tonight's message that might makes right. That our superhero here, our Rambo God, does not count on others to fight. He's not the leader out there who is saying to the troops, "You go fight the battle and I'll take the credit and the glory for telling you what to do." No, we have the Rambo God who says, "You've been hurt. You've been enslaved by sin. You have seen too much pain. I will fight for you." Please note, God doesn't call others to fight for Him. He does it Himself. Christ doesn't sacrifice others and take the glory for Himself, but He sacrifices Himself and gives us the glory. Too bad this isn't true with all our leaders. But it is true with Christ, who is the leader. So getting back to this concept of a Rambo God, a God of valor, well, yeah, I don't have a problem with this. Actually, I think this is very delightful. This is what saves us and redeems us. And yes, there truly is a struggle. There was a war. There is a fight. There is victory. This Christ child does use His battle with the devil to restore and remake creation for you and for me. Might does make right. His might. He's the one that really sets things right. It is through His death and through His resurrection that now He rights the wrong that Satan once was the author of, so to speak, that Adam and Eve fell into sin for. Might makes right now in a positive way. When we say that Christ child, whose advent we are preparing to celebrate, when He is the victorious hero, so that we are freed from the darkness of sin in our lives and restored to eternal life in heaven above. So we have the Rambo God, for lack of a better term. Christ is the might who makes us right. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.